This is Jay Sekulow, leaking like mad. That's what Peter Strzok, former FBI agent, tells Lisa Page.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The bigger context of this is that this is not the end of it. I can say the Department of Justice has been working with Jim and I to get us additional documents. And I can tell you, there are dozens of other documents that would support the fact that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page had ongoing relationships with multiple reporters and that they were feeding them information to spin a narrative.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The text from December 2016 indicates that other government officials were apparently leaking about the Russia probe 1 month after the presidential election. Then FBI agent Peter Strzok tells his then-colleague and lover Lisa Page, quote, "Think our sisters have begun leaking like mad, scorned and worried and political. They're kicking into overdrive."
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. By the way, thoughts and prayers with the people of North and South Carolina, where it looks like the hurricane is headed for. So everybody's keeping an eye on that. But again, our thoughts and prayers with those. And if you're in those areas, we hope you are evacuating or have evacuated. All right. So we broke this late in our broadcast yesterday because it just came out literally as we were, I think, our last segment or two of the broadcast. But another Peter Strzok email. This one says, or message, I should say, "Think our sisters have begun leaking like mad. Scorned and worried and political, they're kicking into overdrive." Now, the sisters is a bit of an odd phrase a lot of people are saying, but actually that usually refers to other government agencies. Could be the FBI, National Security Administration, and others. The leaking like mad text came on the same day that several news outlets reported that U.S. intelligence officials said that they were convinced that Vladimir Putin was personally involved and approved Russian meddling into the 2016 election. So this is timed right at that point. Now, we already told you what the narrative that Peter Strzok's lawyer tried to put in. Oh, no, it wasn't about these. It wasn't about that. But the leaking like mad one, there's no explanation for that other than the FBI and related entities were leaking because of what happened.
Well, and he specifically references what you're never supposed to be referencing as a government official, and especially in law enforcement. But this applies to all government officials. But the idea that he gets into specifically they're getting political, I mean, that, again, to me, shows all about the narrative is that it's not just about law enforcement. It's not just about the issue of Russians involved in tampering with U.S. elections. It's political in nature. It's partisan in nature. It's one-sided in nature. That means you've chosen a side. And in law enforcement in our country, that's it. Once the FBI has been corrupted that way, from the very top, remember, he's the lead counterintelligence agent at the FBI. Once it's been corrupted that way, it spreads, and we see that now. And so whatever he's talking about there as political, whether it's talking about the CIA or an FBI, I mean, a sister agency, something yep. like that, could be the Department of Justice. So really, the Department of Justice would be more like overseeing. So it would look like it's some kind of agency, yeah. something kind of comparable to the FBI.
Andy, what are you hearing?
Well, I think the thing that's the most reprehensible is here is a man who is, as Jordan just pointed out, the lead counterintelligence agent at the FBI. I mean, he is the person in the position of highest authority with regard to counterintelligence, and he's sending texts like this, "Think our sisters have begun leaking like mad, scorned and worried and political, they're kicking into overdrive." This is a reprehensible statement made by a corrupt and rotten agent who should be disciplined, and in fact was been, but long before he was.
By the way, he has lost his security clearance when he was terminated. We found that out as well.
That's right. That has been confirmed now in the media reports. So when he was, even before he was fired, but when he was taken out of the FBI in July, that came with him, his security clearance. And that was ultimately revoked as part of his firing by the FBI in August.
Stan, what are you hearing on Capitol Hill quickly here before we go into break?
Well, I think the phrase sisters, the leaking culture was well beyond the FBI, Jay. It permeated the intelligence community. So we've just scratched the surface on this one. This one has multiple agencies and problems within those agencies that are yet to come out.
Well, Mark Modus has said that there's going to be additional information coming out that points to the fact that there was an ongoing significant dialogue between media outlets and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. So we'll look to see what comes out. Seems like new information coming out every day. All right, we'll take your calls on all of this. Your reaction, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more. We come back from the break.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. New text messages out now between Peter Schrock and Lisa Page. We got into it a little bit yesterday because it came out right as we were finishing up our live broadcast. Let me go through them one more time for you. This is the text that we first focused on, the media leak strategy text. Those were in April of 2017, so after the president's inauguration. These texts were before. This is December of 2016, so this is the period between the president getting elected and the president actually taking the oath of office. So Lisa Page texts Peter Schrock, "Remind me to tell you tomorrow about the Times doing a story about the RNC hacks." Schrock to Page. "And more than they already did, question mark? I told you, Quinn told me they're pulling all the stops out on some story." Quinn is thought to be Richard Quinn, who served as the chief of the media and investigative public section in the Office of Public Affairs. Sisters is believed to be another law enforcement or intelligence agency. You would not usually refer to a Department of Justice. So when you think about this after it came out, yes, so that would not be a sister-type organization, though unless they use that terminology, which I haven't heard. It would be something more similar to what the FBI is, which is overseen by another government department. So it's something like the CIA. I mean, I think that's the closest probably to the FBI, it could be the NSA as well. I mean, some kind of agency that does intelligence work. And so I think our sisters have begun leaking like mad, scorned and worried and political. They're kicking into overdrive. That was not said, by the way, in a negative context. Let me go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., because Than, that is important. Context is important here. Peter Schrock is not some middle-of-the-road figure who you may be able to read that and say, oh, you know, he wasn't happy about that. We know he was scorned. We know he was worried and that he got political in this because he was trying to decide after the election even how to stop a duly elected president of the United States.
Well, we talked about this in the break, Jordan, and you know, the three words scorned, worried, and political. Those are three words that I would use to describe both Peter Schrock and Lisa Page throughout this entire process. So I don't think they say it in a negative word, but I think they're revealing the very state of play that they were engaging in. But Jordan, when they start talking about sister agencies leaking like mad, you're right, the NSA and the CIA are the two agencies that come first to mind for me. But here is the underlying point of that phrase. The problem here was so much larger than just the FBI. You're right. Peter Strzok was just about as high as you get at the FBI. And of course, Director Comey, of course, we know his leaking issues. So the problem permeated the seventh floor of the FBI. But Jordan, it permeated throughout the intelligence community. And I would just tell you this, there's more coming out every day on this. Wait till we get that Inspector General report that's specifically looking into the leaks. I think even now, with this pile of evidence that we have, the amount of leaking, intentional leaking, and partisan-motivated leaking that was going on throughout the intelligence community, Jordan, I don't think we know the start of it.
Let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us live on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. John is calling in from Jacksonville, Florida, on line two. John, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, how you doing, Jay? Thanks for all you do. Yeah, I'm just calling. I've worked for the Navy for 30 years and the government now for 8 years. And I'm wondering, when is somebody going to hold these people accountable? If they start holding people accountable and make it public, this stuff will go away. If I were to do anything like this in my job, I'd be gone and going to jail.
Well, I think, John, remember, with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, I think things are changing in the sense of Washington, D.C. The swamp is being drained, but you see, you start draining the swamp and they start accusing you of things. So it's all, oh, you must be doing this because for political reasons. When they were the ones who are in law enforcement, not politicians, and they're supposed to stay out of politics in their job, and they're specifically referencing that as a reason to do something. So I think, John, the reason why Peter Strzok and Lisa Page are talking through their attorneys, who, by the way, weren't so quick to respond to this one, because they've had, remember, this came out.
That was interesting.
It's been 24 hours.
Yeah,
now.
You're right. They responded to the first one immediately.
They seized on the little media leak strategies. That sounds something official, so let's call it with that.
This one they haven't responded
no.
to. So Harry, how do you see it developing right now?
Well, I think leaking like mad is an accurate description of the FBI's relationship with the media. The FBI has apparently used its own leaks, for instance, in the past to corroborate FISA warrant applications. And so we have a culture of corruption at the FBI. And this culture of corruption has been cultivated by none other than James Comey. So the leaks actually, in my opinion, started with Comey. They certainly include Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andrew McCabe, and some of those individuals have been terminated by the FBI. But we need more. We need, at a minimum, a grand jury investigation. And secondly, we need a special counsel to investigate the leaks at the FBI, the misconduct, and the clear evidence of bias that has infected the FBI. Jay, it's important to note that the recent developments, the recent disclosures, do not occur in a vacuum.
Right.
We have an Inspector General report, and the report clearly indicates that Strzok and Page were infected by bias favoring Hillary Clinton and opposing President Trump.
There was also a follow-up text here, and it says, and this was allegedly Strzok wrote to Page and said, and we need to talk about putting C reporting in our submission. They're going to declassify all of it. So C being Andy classified is what that apparently is. And then it said, I know, Page replied, but they're going to declassify their stuff. How do we withhold? So they were. It was obvious to me at that point, when you look at this, it seems obvious that they were already aware of what was about to, what could well happen
yes.
here.
It was a conspiracy between the two of them to do what they ultimately wanted to do before the election, and that was to stop the election of Donald Trump as president, and then after the election to continue undermining him. After election to undermine the president. But this is what Harry says. The culture of leaking, it was really that of the leaker-in-chief, and that's James Comey, a man who had the audacity to leak to a friend of his in New York a memo that he had written about his meeting with the president so that he could do what he ultimately got done, and that's got appointed a special counsel. So there's method to the madness here, and there is no accountability whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the way, honestly, Peter Strzok, I think that's why they're so nasty also in their appearances, and they kind of have this edge to them, is they think that they've still kind of got this thing going because,
yep.
in a sense, they had done what they had gone to all of their lengths possible in their job to utilize their positions of power inside the law enforcement agencies to undermine a president of the United States. They dropped the investigation on Hillary Clinton, basically. They wrap that up. They don't put her under oath, and she gets all that weird July 4th weekend treatment. They didn't like what Jim Comey did and how he handled all of that, but honestly, she faced no liability, and her staff faced no liability. So that for them, that's wrapping it up.
The witnesses become lawyers. Witnesses so they were not lawyers.
All the people were continuing to be around her. Then that moves into, okay, let's go after – let's take the Russia – meddling into election, let's add the Trump campaign to that and say that it's specific to a single party, not just trying to muddy the waters in a adversarial relationship sometimes between Russia and the United States, which, by the way, got really adversarially out of control under the Obama administration, when the Obama administration let them do things like annex another country's territory and did nothing about it, and let them get involved in Syria and did nothing about it, and the red lines didn't matter. I think a lot of that, too, points to actually the Obama team, not because you can actually look at the facts and see that. But ultimately, their edge comes from the fact that they got that special counsel.
Yes.
They think all of their work coming together, years of work, and it's years now. We're talking about 2016 to 2017.
It's been over 2 years. Let's not forget the famous James Comey line under oath testifying.
So I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
So you leaked a memo involving a conversation you had with the President of the United States, hoping it would I didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons. That's very interesting. Than, you brought up a point. Well-trained employees following the director's example.
It's directly applicable to the sound you just played. The director thought there was a goal that needed to be achieved, and he thought leaking through a friend to the press was an acceptable way to achieve that goal. By the way, that goal was a partisan one. So look, from that standpoint, I think Lisa Page and Peter Strzok were well-trained employees. They were following Director Comey's example. They were accomplishing the goal in the way that he had done so, Jay.
Right.
And that is why, frankly, the entire floor needs to be looked at, because I think this was permeating the entire floor.
All right, we're going to be taking your calls coming back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's so many questions on all of this that are unanswered here. I was thinking about this, Andy, that all this goes on, and really the accountability for it has been very minor.
I mean, this is the thing that's like the caller that we had from Jacksonville. I mean, there is no accountability. You'd leak. You do it with impunity. You boast about it. You text about it. You make statements about it. You're happy that it's happening. You orchestrate it. You conspire to do it. And nothing happens to you. Eventually, maybe you're fired from your job. Your security clearance is taken away. But in the meantime, the damage has been done. The government has been corrupted and the infection is there. It's really awful.
So it gives you a sense of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to get a lot of call lines, a lot of numbers, a lot of folks calling in right now. So we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Then we're also talking about is the president going to declassify some information that's been requested by the House? Talk about that as well. 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we'll take your calls. Let me play for you bite number 25.
Well, I'll just never forget you, Randy. I'll just never forget. You know what you are, Andy? You're
Prince.
Right? Just a real prince.
That was Floyd the Barber to Andy of Mayberry, because today's our Andy's 70th birthday, and his favorite TV show is Andy of Mayberry.
I do watch it a lot.
There you go. So happy birthday to Andy. And I'm sure everybody on Facebook's going to be saying the same thing. All right. There we go. We got a bite. It wasn't easy either, was it? They found one, though. Good. All right. Let's go ahead and take a call. You right. Blushing, Andy?
A little bit.
There you go.
Back to phones. Mary and Alice on line one. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Mary.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on
Hello,
the air.
Hello. I'm Mary Alice from San Diego, California. Happy birthday, Andy. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure,
I am a first-time caller. And my comment is, if you all remember back around January 5th or 6th of 2016, before inauguration, Obama, President Obama, he opened it up for all of the agencies, like the 17 agencies or something like that, to all communicate with each other. And I think perhaps he did that because he wanted to make it hard for people to figure out who was leaking what from where.
Well, you know, look, there's no question when they increased it from 3 to 18, it changed the whole dynamic of the flow. This leaking, though, remember, went on before that. This, in other words, this was they did that. It was in January, I think around the 12th of 2017. This stuff was going on in November and December after the election.
Right. This is that transition period. So where you've got the outgoing lame duck president, that was President Obama and his team, transitioning to President Trump's team. And I think that's when the bureaucracy, we talked about that, those days of the Obama administration that could be the most dangerous would be those days in between the election and the end of the presidency. And you see how this all of these different levers of government went into action. And they weren't upset about it. The way Peter Strzok wrote about this to Lisa Page, think our sisters have begun leaking like mad. Scorned, they're worried and political. They're kicking into overdrive. Overdrive is not usually a term kicking into overdrive that you'd say about something that you didn't like happening. So if he really was someone trying to stop leaking and stop all, if we're trying to buy, which I don't at all, let's say that. Why would you? That's not the terminology you would use. It's not the way you would describe it. By the way, he uses weird terminology throughout.
Yes.
We're also getting that. Peter Strzok is kind of bizarre the way he writes. He wrote the media leak strategy makes more sense when you read the other ways he phrases things, sister things, and terms that you don't see used much. In the way he just communicated. And I think that's probably coming
from... His arrogance at that hearing was palpable, Harry. Yeah. I mean, it was...
Absolutely. And he
Do we
was
have any of that? The Mr. Gowdy ones? And yeah, we're going to play one of those.
But he was also empowered by his bosses, including Andrew McCabe and James Comey. I think Peter Strzok thought he could get away with it. And so far, he has, despite the fact that he's been terminated from the FBI, he has yet to face charges, criminal charges.
I want to play, so people remember who we're dealing with here. I think this is important because I like laying the evidence out. This was an exchange between Trey Gowdy and Peter Strzok.
Your testimony a couple of weeks ago was the "we met the American people," which I found confusing. Because on November the 7th, which is the day before the election, you said this. You were concerned that those same American people that you were speaking on behalf of might actually elect Donald Trump president. So you said, OMG, this is effing terrifying. What was terrifying about those same American people you trusted to stop him in August, not stopping him in November? What was so terrifying about that, Agent Strzok?
Mr. Gowdy, do not have a copy of the transcript. We have not been provided that transcript.
It's your text. It's not the transcript. It's your text.
Mr. Gowdy, what I would say in that is, one, I was not referring to the American electorate at all. The American electorate, I respect in their decisions, and their right to vote is absolutely a cornerstone of our democracy. So at no time did I insult or call into question the the judgment or the power of the American electorate. What I was expressing in that text is my personal belief and my personal sense of how I saw and what I believed in the potential upcoming administration. Hey,
see, Andy, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, it is the arrogance of power and unbridled power. And Representative Gowdy, as a true prosecutor, got to the heart of the matter, put him in the crosshairs, and the man couldn't answer on cross-examination, which is really what it was, because he was a liar and he was arrogant. And this statement that his lawyer made has now been shown with the divulging of this email today that we have been talking about, the leaking like mad, kicking into overdrive. It has really shown how ridiculous the statement that his lawyer made was, that this was that what he was really doing was a media leak strategy to detect and stop leaks. We know now that that is laughable, or as Alan Dershowitz says, it doesn't even pass the giggle test.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Yeah, Aaron in Tennessee on line two. Aaron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Aaron. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, guys. My question is this. Why are there four different FISA judges? You know, typically in a court case, one judge runs it. Runs everything through. Why are there four different?
Well, because it's like they're almost on call. It's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. These judges are basically on call. So how would it work, Andy, in a typical situation?
Well, I think there are appointed, I believe, by the Chief Justice,
right.
And they serve for a period of time. And it's like you said, it's a panel of judges so that you don't have one judge who's overburdened with FISA warrant applications. What happens is that the government goes in what we call ex parte. There is no other side to hear the opposition to the government's application. It's based upon the government's evidence, and the FISA judge has got to rely on what evidence the agent who is presenting the application for a warrant gives him through the prosecutor. And there's a relationship that begins to form between the judge and the agent that sometimes lulls the judge into a false sense of security,
here.
And it happened here.
Yep. Harry, do you think that the reforming, you know, FISA serves an important role, it can, but the abuse here is pretty breathtaking in scope.
Absolutely. And so it's important for purposes of background to note that over 99% of FISA applications for a warrant have indeed been granted historically.
Although in this case, remember, they went a couple of times and couldn't get it.
That is true.
And then they came up with the dossier.
But it also underscores the fact that we need some safeguards in place. And so we, in the future, may need to reform the process so that at a minimum, there is someone who can step into the shoes of the potential target and ask the court to examine additional evidence. In this particular case, the Carter Page case, however, the FBI apparently deliberately withheld evidence which would have worked in favor of Carter Page and against the warrant application itself. And you correctly point out that at least on a couple of occasions, the application for a warrant was denied.
And they were jumping through loopholes to turn Carter Page into a foreign agent because that's the only way this applies to him. So it doesn't apply to Americans aren't supposed to be subject to this straight up. This FISA team, it's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. You have to turn an American into a foreign agent, basically stripping them of constitutional protections fully and due process abilities to get this kind of intelligence. You're supposed to be using this against the foreign enemies of the U.S. To intercept. And even that is controversial because it's not no due process because it's not an adversarial hearing. This is, again, we have to remember the loops that they were going through to get this. They turned Carter Page into a foreign agent of the Russian Federation so that they could surveil him.
Unreal. All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. You get the full hour on a lot of stations, but also at ACLJ.org, of course, Facebook and Periscope. Be back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. Let's reset a little bit for our second half hour in case you are just joining us on the broadcast. There are new text messages out between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. These are messages, the ones that we focused on yesterday for the most part of the broadcast were messages into 2017, so after President Trump's inauguration. These messages occurred between the time President Trump is elected and taking the oath of office, so in December of 2016. And Lisa Page texts Peter Strzok, remind me to tell you about the Times doing a story about the RNC hacks. Then Strzok writes to Page, and more than they did already? I told you Quinn told me they're pulling out all the stops on some story, dot, dot, dot. And then Strzok again to Page, think our sisters have begun leaking like mad, scorned and worried and political. They're kicking into overdrive. The term sisters is thought to mean another law enforcement or intelligence agency. I don't even think it's thought to mean. I think that's the only way you could read that is that it's a sister kind of or similar organization, similarly situated government agency. And Quinn has been identified as Richard Quinn, who served as the head of the public media and public investigation section in the Office of Public Affairs at the FBI. So all of this information, again, you put it into context, and media leak strategy doesn't seem like it was seen as an official way to combat leaks. I mean, Harry, that is kind of the pushback here. I think that that's likely why these messages are coming out this way, as Congress is able to review them, is that when you see it in context, when you put all of it together about who we know about Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, we know a highly partisan actor in Peter Strzok. Regardless if he was highly partisan before or not, there was something about this president that turned him into this. And we don't really know much about him, a decade ago, but we know about him now. That he had an animosity towards this president specifically, and an ability to try and continue to undermine the president even after he took the oath of office, his boss,
absolutely,
the president of the United States.
So Peter Strzok's denials are coming up empty in part because of his history. And it's not just his history before Congress, which is appalling, but it also includes the inspector general's analysis. The inspector general broke down the text messages, again, this is in 2016, yep, into four categories. Three out of the four categories show evidence of bias, either favoring Hillary Clinton or hostility to Donald Trump. And the inspector general suggested that that bias may have indeed affected official conduct.
Yeah.
Given that background, Peter Strzok's claims now or the claims of his attorney make little sense and they have little credibility. At the end of the day, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andrew McCabe, and the entire upper echelon of the FBI are struck with what? A credibility problem.
Significant.
And they are not believable. No impartial American should believe any of the claims that they make without additional corroboration.
You know, it's interesting, too, in this one, and Jordan said this earlier, they responded very quickly to that first email that was out about the press, media press strategy thing. And the second one, this next one, not a peep. Nothing. Zero.
It's 24 hours.
24 hours and not a word. The lawyer wasn't out. No, he wasn't out so quick on this one.
No.
So, Than, quickly here as we go into break, what do you expect Congress to actually do next? Or is we're now in re-election season and camp between the next 8 weeks, it's going to be campaign city?
Well, I think they're going to call for an independent counsel, a separate counsel, a special counsel, Jay, because, look, it's pattern and practice now of withholding information, everything from using a secret phone to deleting text. Remember, the text message you've been talking about, Jay, the "we'll stop at one,"
yeah,
that was never turned over. That was revealed through a forensic exam. So I think even Congress knows that it can't get all the pieces it needs to provide proper oversight.
And remember
here
that there's also an Office of Inspector General report going on James Comey right now. And then people are asking questions about Lisa Page. We'll talk about that. What's happening with her? But she quit before all this got really hot, but we'll see what that ends up meaning. All right, we're taking a break. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We got some special video coming up for those watching us on TV.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Tomorrow's program is going to be kind of an open phones Friday. Give you a sense of there's a lot of polling data out. There's a lot of interesting information that's out there. We're going to kind of give you some analysis on the politics of the day. Tomorrow, and you'll be able to ask us questions on any of the topics. But today, we're taking your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take another phone call, Jordan.
Yeah, back to the phones. I think that this is a good one. Chris in Washington State, Line 3. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, this is Chris. Thank you. You guys do a really good
Thanks.
Job. My question today is about Lisa Page. When Comey and Strzok started to be investigated, she quit her job
yep.
and ran over to Madeleine Albright's office. And kind of disappeared off the map. Why is Lisa Page not being investigated? Or should I say, when will she be investigated?
Well, you know, we don't know who's being, we know that a grand jury was impaneled on McCabe. That information leaked out. So if there was, she could no longer be investigated by the Office of Inspector General, Andy, because that would be outside of OIG's jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But whether there's a federal investigation on this or there might be, we don't know. That's why there needs to be someone needs to be brought in to figure out what was going on with this very irregular investigation. I mean, we talked about that yesterday. This was a very irregular investigation. And then Congress has done oversight, and that only gets you so far, though.
Reality. It only gets you so far. I'm sorry?
No, in reality, it only gets you so far.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, new information comes out every day. They've been fighting for documents and texts for months and months. Jay, I think there's a reality inside the Congress that if they want solutions on this, there's going to have to be somebody from the outside looking in on it. To answer the caller's question, I think Lisa Page saw the writing on the wall on this better than Peter Strzok did. I think she thought that by quitting her job, maybe she wouldn't be in the spotlight. To some extent, maybe she was successful. But look, Jay, when the Inspector General report comes out, maybe he can't look at her actions, but he's certainly going to take a look at what took place when she was there. And I think for her own sake, she probably better hope she does have an attorney.
Yeah. I what do you think, Andy, on that one? Lisa, because you don't know. That's my concern with there's all of these parts you've got to put together here.
Well, that's why I think that a special counsel to investigate the investigators is appropriate. We don't know who's looking at her. We know Mueller's not looking at her. I can bet you on that one. But she just can't run away and go to Madeleine Albright if that's where she went and then hope that she's immune from any scrutiny because she needs to be scrutinized very carefully.
You know, the thing that goes on here that's so interesting to me is we talk about what the change really happened. What you think about it, though, think about this for a minute. The FBI director, James Comey, gone. The deputy FBI director, not only gone, but under investigation. Okay. The general counsel, gone. The chief of staff, gone. The lead counterintelligence investigator, gone. One of the lead lawyers for the FBI in counterintelligence, gone. It's not like nothing has happened here.
No, that's a bad, that, and that's the, again, we identify the people who are the bad actors who are at the level of government to even be a bad actor.
Right.
I mean, these are the folks who have enough.
Bruce Orr's still there.
Yes. But Bruce Orr's messages are different.
Yeah.
Bruce Orr had his wife working there. That's not really, that's hidden. But honestly, what did that show you is that the Department of Justice didn't care. I mean, which goes back to another issue, is that they let Bruce Orr stay through that early on. I'm talking even under the Obama presidency, when they knew that that dossier was bogus and Bruce Orr's level. So I think that there's some issues there with that. And also the fact of he spent a lot of time with investigators. I don't think that that's done. I think that the wrongdoing was very clear on Peter Strzok and obviously went back internally at the FBI long enough to where the special counsel knew he had to get rid of Peter Strzok. So at some point internally, they were identifying him as a serious problem before we all knew about how serious of a problem he posed to our Democratic Republic, to be honest with you, because if you are the lead investigator at the FBI on these counterintelligence matters, and you can use that, and you are using that for political purposes, so the temptation has been utilized, if you will, then you no longer, I mean, how do you have faith in these agencies? We talked about the DOJ being the toughest. We talked about before the IRS situation, the new commissioner finally got, finally a new commissioner at the IRS.
Right.
I mean, but you see that the Democrats stopping their procedures there had the IRS on an interim basis for a year, which again, during a new tax program as well, he is now there. And they've talked about the biggest issue is to restore trust in the agency.
Well, that's because, and it took us going to federal court to get that institution changed, and we did in two cases and got it resolved. All right, let's go ahead and take more calls. And we're going to take your calls last segment coming up in just a few minutes. So we'll take your calls in the last segment. You get to ask on any topic. So 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We haven't really gotten into the declassification of documents yet. But we'll need to talk about that as well. So again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Mike is calling from Ohio on line 4. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mike. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks, guys. I wanted to get your opinion on something with regards to this entire corruption conspiracy and everything that's gone on.
Yep.
What is your feeling on people being charged with some serious crimes? And do you think the current DOJ has it in them to you know, deliver charges, something bigger than these 1001 statute violations?
Well, 1001's not insignificant, but no, you're asking a great question, Mike, and is there the gumption, so to speak, to do this? Well, it's an agency investigating itself, which is problematic, Andy, from the start, especially in light of this situation.
Well, I think what Mike is saying is really good. Does the DOJ have it in them to do the investigation? And if you want to know my opinion, it's that they do not have it in them to do the investigation, and it's got to be done by a special counsel, because I don't have confidence that I had in the Department of Justice. I'm very disappointed in the floundering that has been going on there and in the lack of leadership in the Department of Justice to do the job.
All right. 1-800-684-3110. Let's take another call. And the phone lines are filling up. There are more phone lines always opening. 1-800-684-3110. Pamela's calling in from Arizona on line 6. Pamela, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Happy birthday, Andy.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask, how is it that the American public, as myself, can really trust the system anymore because of the fact that they can go out and leak? And then there's also been other leakers that have actually been locked up for their crimes. And now these people are looking, just from my eyes, that they're skating on their, you know, hey, it's okay. They can go do it. So why can't everybody else?
Well, look, you raise a really important question, Pam, and that is there's a lack of trust, Harry. And
absolutely.
I'm gonna run the same question to Than in a minute here. There's a lack of trust, so the institutions have to reestablish that.
Pamela asked a very great question, but we should point out that there is a stark contrast between field agents and the upper echelon of the FBI and the DOJ. James Comey presided over a highly politicized FBI agency that became highly corrupt at the top level. And so what we need now is to unleash field agents to investigate the upper echelons of both the DOJ and the FBI under the leadership of a special counsel. That is what's necessary here, because it's difficult to believe that the DOJ can investigate itself without sufficient independence. Clearly, the FBI has not demonstrated independence, and so we need a special counsel immediately.
And I think we have to be—we all have to be careful about our language, because I think we sometimes offer too much protection to these agencies. I do think that the average field agent for the FBI is not the one. Remember, they got thrown under the bus in IRS. It was the field office for the IRS. It was one of the regional offices. A big office, though, with a lot of power. Yes. I mean, it was not like the Cincinnati office was just a random office in Cincinnati. It was the one who basically oversaw most tax-exempt applications. So they didn't ultimately usually get to a small office in Washington, D.C., of the top bureaucrats in the IRS. But there's likely issues at multiple levels, because Peter Strzok didn't put this information together by himself, which means he was utilizing some field agents to work with him.
Right.
So every field agent is not
counterintelligence, too.
Yeah, I mean, they were probably the Washington, D.C., and that office is separate. But I am telling you, I think that we have to be very careful about that, too. With this specific government agency, especially because Peter Strzok was the boss, and so he had all this info flowing to him.
Dan, what do you think about restoring trust in the government?
I fully agree with Jordan and Pamela as well. I think you had a separate standard of justice for the ruling class in this case. And to Jordan's point, Jay, these are people that we empowered to surveil American citizens. And what did they do? They went and surveilled American citizens using evidence that they didn't suspect was not credible. They knew, Jay, that it was not credible. That's an abuse of power. They have got to be held to account for it.
I agree. And look, it took us going to federal court on the IRS matter to get that resolved. So we'll see what happens here. But again, these are important issues, and we don't lose hope. And we work hard to restore our credibility in these agencies. All right, we'll take your calls in the last segment. 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you also to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org, aclj.org. We'll take some more calls when we come back from the break. We've got some questions coming in on Facebook and Periscope. We'll answer those during the break as well. But again, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Last segment, everybody. So we take the calls in the order that people have been holding. Let's go right to them.
Yeah, right to the phones. We'll go start with Vincent in New York on line two. Vincent, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Vincent.
Hey, guys. How are you? Jay, I just want to say, a Brooklyn guy, went to Midwood High School.
There you go.
Listen, there you go. Jay, listen, a quick question. The Attorney General Sessions, since he recused himself, does he have any jurisdiction to appoint an independent counsel still?
That's a really great question. So he recused himself from anything related to the Russia probe. Now, this is not the Russia probe per se, but it really is, because it's touted as a counterintelligence move. So it may have to go to, it may have to be the DAG.
Well, it's a very, very difficult question. I would argue that he does have authority to appoint a special counsel, because what's at issue here is not the Russia inquiry per se. It's internal corruption within the FBI and the DOJ. There's clear evidence, at least on the face of it, of misconduct by the FBI. And if the Attorney General is deprived of power to appoint a special counsel to investigate that, then the Attorney General is not, in my opinion, able to do his job.
Yeah, Jordan brought up a point.
He's the one who put the Utah Attorney General,
correct,
the U.S. Attorney in Utah,
on the other matters.
Empowered him to look into all this, these issues involving leaks at the FBI and Department of Justice. So there is, we know that a U.S. attorney is investigating these people.
Right.
You could put that all together. The media may not want to focus on it. That would mean there's a grand jury. That would mean that there's all those things. They wouldn't have all lawyered up to the extent that they did, especially the Peter Strzok raising hundreds of thousands of dollars online to pay for legal fees. If they didn't have those fees, they would. I don't think they're trying to pull that on people. I think that they face really potential issues. But that was Jeff Sessions who did that. And let's be honest about these recusals. It's up to him to interpret it.
Exactly. Yeah,
this is not like people take these recusals like they are some set
court
in stone.
Order. They're not.
This is up to him to interpret how he wants to, how he sees what he signed on to, and how they interpret that. And in any time, we've already seen him empower a U.S. attorney to do this. A lot of people are not happy with that.
Right.
Lindsey Graham was not happy with that. The senators who have been on these committees who have been trying to investigate this thought that it just had already gone on long enough. But that was his response to those senators, was that I have actually empowered a U.S. attorney to look into these problems.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take the next caller.
Yep, we'll go to Lynette in New York on line three. Lynette, welcome to Jay Sekulow
Live. Hi, Lynette, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I support you with prayer and money and telling others about your website.
Thanks.
My question is in regards to what happened to Susan Rice and Dr. Evelyn Farkas, who were among the first to actually admit on CNN and MSNBC and others that they had been receiving information, disseminating information as quickly as possible. And what happened to Samantha Power and Sally Yates with the regarding FISA warrants? And
the answer is the answer is nothing. Evelyn Farkas, on March of 2017, remember, she was an Obama era deputy assistant to Secretary of Defense. She went on MSNBC and urged her colleagues to collect intelligence on the Trump collusion issue and protect it from the incoming administration. But as far as I know, now, like I said, the Utah U.S. attorney is looking at a variety of issues. Andy, it could include this. We don't know.
No, we don't know what it is, what he's looking into and who he's looking into. And that is as it should be, because the investigation needs to remain confidential and secret so that, as I say, people who are not ultimately indicted are not tarnished by being known that they were subjects or targets of a grand jury investigation. But I do think someone ought to look at Sally Yates and see what she knew with respect to the FISA warrants and the approval of those.
Yeah, you've got theories on that. All right, let's go ahead and take the last two calls if we can.
All right, Don in Washington State on line five. Don, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Don.
Yeah, hi. What's going on with Bruce Orr? I thought he's the kingpin of the whole situation.
Well, he's the relationship between Christopher Steele and the Department of Justice and the FBI, and maybe information going over to the special counsel's office that way. Now, Bruce Orr has gone back in, Fan, and testified under oath for about 6 or 8 hours. He's still employed by the Department of Justice, as far as we know. Fan?
Well, I actually think this is a great question for the Attorney General. He did come back to Congress and provide testimony. Jay, from every account that we have, it is clear that he violated the policies and procedures of the department by continuing to interact with Christopher Steele after Steele had been terminated for what, Jay? For leaking to the media. Does that sound familiar? That's what he was accused of. That's why he was terminated. Yet he kept contact and got that dossier. Jay, I think the question has to be asked of the Attorney General. Are there appropriate people losing their jobs? You talk about a special counsel to look at these, but also jobs inside the Bureau. Those should be lost as well. In my opinion, Bruce Orr is one of them.
But think about how this whole thing started. I mean, we've got this entire Office of Special Counsel process going on right now, and it started on this dossier and this counterintelligence investigation. And that was really kind of the impetus for all of this. And you ask, and then you got the you do have the statement by Evelyn Farkas, and you've got Susan Rice and her famous, I didn't leak, well, here, I'll play it for everybody.
But let me leak the name of Mike Flynn.
I leaked nothing to nobody and never have and never would.
So she denied that she leaked anything to anybody. Take that for what it's worth. Let's take the last caller.
Stuart in Minnesota on line 4. Stuart, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Stuart.
Hello, Jay.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you.
Yep.
Who exactly has the authority to bring these people up on actual charges and prosecute them? We've heard this rhetoric going around for almost 2 years,
yep,
and no one is being brought up on any charges.
Well, that's
at all.
Not well. Hold it, Andrew McCabe. Apparently, there's a grand jury investigation of him right now. The Office of Professional Responsibility and the Office of Government Ethics can only make recommendations. Andy, they cannot. They are not prosecuting arms. They refer matters over to the U.S. Attorney's Office.
It's the same thing with the Inspector General. They don't prosecute. They're fact finders. So ultimately, the prosecutor is the United States Attorney for the district in which the crime is alleged to have been committed. And that's the one who, if it was in D.C., it would be the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia.
Yeah, so that's how the process works. Look, the frustration level's high. Dan, is there any reasonable expectation out of anything in Congress other than the vote between and for the Supreme Court, which is not insignificant, between now and the election?
Yeah, I think they'll bring Peter Strzok back for testimony. But, Jay, look, I mean, they've been fighting for how long on documents and texts, and they're not being turned over. So I think even their patience is up, and they're going to look for someone from the outside. Look, maybe there's other grand juries that we don't know about going on. Frankly, that's probably the only thing that would save the administration.
Yep.
I would say next session, Jay, what's Congress going to focus on? Probably the DOJ and whether or not they are engaging in these grand juries.
Yeah, what do you think, Harry? Quickly, give me like a 20-second view of what do you think's the next move here.
Well, clearly there's insufficient independence within the DOJ. And so to spur this process on, I think we need the immediate declassification of documents and the elimination of redactions with respect to all text messages.
Yep, Jordan.
I believe, you know, I think it's going to take the special counsel. I think that ultimately, you know, as we point out how long these processes take, you had it all how long it took to get them fired. And you realize that those U.S. attorneys weren't really starting on it until that happened, putting all these facts together. And then you're relying on people still within inside the system to take down the people within inside the system who they've worked with before and relied on before to do their cases.
Yeah, 15 seconds here. What do you think?
I think that a special counsel to investigate the investigators needs to be appointed. I think Jeff Sessions should do it. I don't think he's recused. I think he needs to show some courage at last.
All right, that'll do it for the broadcast today. ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.